This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, baby. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Former Cowboys quarterback Ben DiNucci is going to join you coming up here at 3:20. Crusty's Corner right around the corner at 3:40. He's going to preview the Niners offense for you today, tell you what the film says. Right now, Wolchuk has your NFL news of the day, buddy.
All right, let's talk trades. Titans and Chiefs, they have finalized a trade that's going to send DeAndre Hopkins to Kansas City. So the Titans are getting a 2025 fifth-round pick that becomes a fourth if the Chiefs reach the Super Bowl. And DeAndre Hopkins plays 60% of the snaps with Kansas City. I think that's probably going to be a fourth-round pick, but you never know. The NFL is a crazy, crazy season. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. That's why you play the games. Tennessee also will pick up $2.5 million of Hopkins' remaining $8 million salary this season, according to sources. Trade's expected to be complete today. It's complete now, according to Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, Diana Rossini, everybody who's been on top of this. Now, Chiefs did attempt to trade for Cooper Kupp. Diana Rossini, Ian Rappaport both talking about that. They discussed a deal for Kupp. Didn't come together because Kansas City didn't want to give up a high draft pick and needed a trade partner willing to eat a large chunk of the player's salary. So the draft pick compensation, not agreed upon, and Chiefs are saying, we can't really go ahead and eat a chunk of that salary. In fact, Titans taking up $2.5 million of that Hopkins deal. So this worked out to get DeAndre Hopkins, Cooper Kupp staying with the Rams as of now, not a Kansas City Chief. Either way, I'm sure we'll see DeAndre Hopkins kind of turn the clock back a little bit playing with Patrick Mahomes in that offense.
Yeah, that's a foregone conclusion, I think. Look what he's done for Juju Smith-Schuster, for instance, a guy that was down and out for the count. Nobody had the Patriots didn't even want him. And then he's popped off and had at least one 100-yard game for them already. I think DeAndre Hopkins, and I haven't watched too much of him this year, so I don't know exactly where he's at right now, but he's a dude that you just know, man, he's going to catch the ball. He's not overly flashy, especially at this point. I don't think he's creating much separation. But
the catch radius has always been huge.
Yeah, and he's done it with bad quarterbacks his whole career. Now he's doing it with the best. The idea that you get to go to sleep with Mason Rudolph, Will Levis, and a 1-5 record hanging over your head, and then boom, here's undefeated Pat Mahomes. Welcome to paradise. DeAndre Hopkins.
I don't think anybody's probably had a better day than DeAndre Hopkins. That's a great way to put it.
He won up to Amari Cooper.
He did.
Because Amari had a great week or a great day last week where he went to bed with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback and he's living in Cleveland. Now he still has to live in Buffalo. But
great fits.
Josh Allen.
Absolutely. The Seahawks are sending linebacker Jerome Baker, the touchdown maker, and a fourth round draft pick to the Titans to get Ernest Jones in return. So there's kind of a player swap there between the Titans and the Seahawks. Titans wheeling and dealing today. It's amazing. I didn't know you could really add and shuffle players out during the season. But
you tweeted
these teams,
that
they're finding a way to do this right now. It's pretty incredible. The other big news of the day, Carolina, the Panthers, they're going with Bryce Young. He's going to start Sunday against the Broncos. Andy Dalton suffered a sprained right thumb yesterday, was in a car accident with his family. I think everybody's fine. I think the sprained thumb is the most serious of any injuries that happened, so thank goodness there. But about 7 miles away from Bank of America Stadium is where the incident occurred.
Got to get your hands out of the way, right, Brian? That's what they train the pro drivers.
Yeah, what you do is if you're about to get in a wreck, let go of the wheel. You know, if you feel like you're out of control, just let go of the wheel, because it's when the wheel violently spins. Yeah. That's when you break your wrists and your hands and all that stuff.
It's a good public service announcement.
Just you feel like you're going to slam into something, just let go of the wheel.
Hmm. Well, the trade conversation continues with Bryce Young, because Diana Rossini said that she's asked around the league what the Panthers should do with Bryce. Most believe they need to get him really prepared at practice, put him in a few games. That'll help his value. So if they decide they want to trade him, they can try and get the best compensation.
Wow, amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. How about just play the guy? Yeah. How about like series to series? Let's just get better. Let's not worry about the score today. Let's not worry about that.
Down by down.
Just say, let's series to series. Let's see if we can improve on some stuff today.
Yeah.
You know,
I hope that Bryce does look better. I'm rooting for him here.
That guy's supposed to be like a good young OC, you know, play caller dude. Yeah. I mean,
did it with Geno, did it with Baker, and they were hoping he could do it with Bryce Young. Give him a chance.
Yeah. Work with him a little bit, man. It's your job to do that.
Cowboys did designate the practice window for Jordan Phillips, who still apparently doesn't know why he was even on IR to begin with.
The phantom back there. But
he's able to return to practice. That one's a crazy one for me. I really thought Jordan Phillips would be able to help them.
I did too, but that's what I know, you know?
Yeah, well, we don't know much. Yeah. Texans signed former Pro Bowl linebacker Devin White. This is after the Eagles, who signed him to a one-year, $4 million deal in free agency, cut him. So Houston going to try and get some linebacker depth. We'll see if he plays there. I mean, I think I mentioned this when the Eagles cut him. I don't think I've seen quite a dip and drop off from a guy that I thought was the best young linebacker in football when they win the Super Bowl, beating the Chiefs, looked incredible. And then now all of a sudden, like, he quits on his team last year in Tampa Bay, doesn't ever get on the field in Philadelphia. Now you're playing with Houston. That seems to be a good locker room with DeMeco Ryans. Maybe this works.
Yeah, I think, you know, sometimes it's not about football. Sometimes it's just a difficult, you know, life situation or mental health situation where the guy can't keep it on the rails enough for a team to want to, you know, go through everything it needs to do to keep him on the team. You know, and if your play declines a little bit, we've seen plenty of that with the Cowboys over the years where they're like, let's see if we can make it work. You know, it did with Rolando McClain. It can't work anywhere else. Let's see if we try this approach. It works. They got 2 good years of linebacker out of them, you know. So I get why teams, you know, try it, because it's talent's the most important thing. But it really sounds like something where he might be difficult to work with.
Can I circle back real quick and ask you guys a question?
Yes.
With Cooper Kupp, how much money would you eat to get him? I mean, I'm looking at his cap number. It's 29.7 is his number. Half of that's already been paid, right? We're halfway through the season.
I looked at his cap number. It averages like 13 mil over the next 2 years. So if you're going down the Cooper Kupp road, I'm driving right there with you, brother. I'm riding shotgun.
See, I just
not a bad deal, huh?
No, I don't.
Favorable?
I don't think, because to me, he makes a whole hell of a lot of sense for Kansas City.
Yeah.
And after watching, you know, we all watch Kansas City play every week. I mean, we understand how their offense works. You know, it's that the kind of the underneath stuff, the quarterback's on the move. Cooper Kupp is one of the best underneath route runners, you know, getting open, separating, you know, being quarterback friendly, bad ball catcher. I don't know, man. I mean, half his salary's already paid, and you're sitting there asking, oh man, can you do a little more for me here?
I think for me, if I'm Kansas City, I'm looking at this going, I got enough wide receivers that are injured. Cooper Kupp is just depending on him. I need a guy that can go the long haul. I'm trying to get to February, and they know that.
What about?
And I'm with you. Cooper Kupp is, if you're just going like, who's the best player they could have had in this scenario?
Yeah,
it's Kupp.
They just don't have a lot of cap space there in Kansas City either.
Right. They have to be making.
They've got like $5 million.
So I think Hopkins for the compensation and for, I guess,
Hopkins stay healthy too? I'm sorry, I'm asking a stupid question.
It's not a stupid question. No, I really need to look and see what he's been like recently.
I mean, I remember when we were talking about him and the Cowboys. He was available way more than I thought.
Aren't we getting slower with that?
No, there's no question. Kupp is better than Nuke Hopkins, but yes. I guess when the draft pick compensation's not where you want it to be, and the money Kansas City just decided, hey, this is a better option for us. The player, I'd much rather have Cooper Kupp.
Kansas City is a little bit more conservative, and they should be. They've proven they can kind of get it done, patching it together. I think the Cooper Kupp thing is interesting for the Cowboys, though. And maybe you don't want to talk about it right here. I don't know how much other stuff you got to. Maybe we get to it later.
We can get back to that.
But if he's hurt, right, and top of the market wide receiver is $30 million, and he's $12 and $14 million over the next 2 years, If he's not looking for a new contract, I want the Cowboys to trade for him. That is a low-cost, potential big reward type of deal, and you pair him up with CeeDee Lamb, and all of a sudden a massive weakness becomes a strength.
My boy DeAndre has MCL issues.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Everything you see.
He doesn't have – I don't think he has an MCL, does he?
Well, he had a grade 3 tear in his MCL there over in training camp.
Yeah.
So I guess that's partially why he started the season a little bit slow, perhaps. But, yeah, he did just have a MCL tear in the offseason. Before that, it was 2022, then 21, and they were all strains or tears of the MCL.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you're in your 12th in your NFL career. Now, speaking of the Chiefs, though, they have a safety that's got a little bit of a weird request in games. He's got a big love
like
for
Sprite.
Sprite. Yeah, so this is Chief safety Brian Cook. NFL Films picked this up. This was him on the sideline during game day.
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance?
Huh?
Can I get some Sprite when you get a chance?
Who has that?
I don't remember about who, but I got Sprite last week. I'm trying to get it again.
Sir. So I got that for you.
Yeah, that's cool.
Where do you want it? Where do you want to keep it?
You go keep it somewhere cool, but I need like little cups of it throughout the game.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Yeah, the Sprite. This a little bit in the cup. Thank you.
Man.
Yeah.
So I heard about Sean Lee and the coffee. This is an interesting one.
There's no caffeine in Sprite.
Yeah.
You know, he must just like the flavor and the fizziness. I think the sugar.
Keeps him going
maybe the sugar keeps him going a little bit.
Was it? Did you ever have to have that responsibility, like ever getting some stuff for some players?
I was a dip guy. Line? I was dip. Okay. I was
Vicodin.
I was Copenhagen guy.
Yeah, the hard stuff. That's what we're.
Yeah, I didn't do the Viking stuff.
Trust you, me.
I
got you didn't beer. Put Favre's Vicodin up there for him.
No, it was already in his shoes.
Oh,
I just put a cup. Oh, I put a beer up there for him.
Yeah,
which was so he could take the Vicodin.
Right, yeah, that's so right. He could take exactly. the Vicodin. Yeah. Yeah.
Cowboys practice.
Hey, Amon Ra St. Brown's. His dad, John Brown, the bodybuilder and whatnot. Yeah, he gives his kids the Coca-Cola.
That's right. He was like a sponsor for Coke.
Yeah, Coca-Cola.
During that receiver show.
It's like, you're down. Yeah, if you're down, man, you need some energy. Coca-Cola builds you up. Boom.
Sugar and caffeine, baby. Yep.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
The Sprite here, little cups of the Sprite gets you going.
I mean, in your 20s, you can drink all the soda and like the grown-ups or the adults, the middle-aged people are like, drink more water. You're like, why?
Yeah.
You know, you don't even notice it. Now when I drink soda, I feel it dehydrate me. And I'm like, I need water immediately after drinking
When you're
it.
Young like that,
yeah.
Metabolism is firing off. You're burning so many
on top
calories.
Of the world.
Ready to rock.
You're drinking beer at night, soda all day.
Yep.
Living it up.
Gosh.
Doritos in between.
Back in the day.
That's right. Ramen noodles.
Yes.
The good old days.
Bagel dogs, bagel bites.
You poop in someone's couch. That.
Hey, that was, yeah. Let's not.
How'd the couch smell?
Couch is fantastic, by the way. I walked in a whole room.
So this was
great.
A win then.
This was a win for me.
Because the couch was kind of raggedy and you got it better.
Couch could have used a good cleaning and now we got it done. So you can poop on the other couch if you want to, Jared. Not really. Please don't do that. But it worked out well.
So there's no traces.
No traces.
You no
just memories.
Yeah.
Just memories.
That's the only trace. That's where that happened.
Memories. The PTSD. Don't live like people do.
Shout out to high-end cleaning services. They did a great job. Cowboys practice report is out. Aubrey didn't practice. He had jury duty. Okay, Brian, you watchdogging his jury duty over there.
I'll tell you what, if he told everybody he was a media member or a radio personality.
Well, I guess a football player can't even get out of it.
He might.
Football players can. He's a kicker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't appreciate that from you. He's our best damn player, okay, Eric?
That's
put some respect on Brandon Aubrey's name.
Are you trying to get out when you guys get called up? Are you trying to get out of it?
I tried to, and I had success up until the one time that I had to take off. Yeah. That was the first time I ever had to go.
I've never gotten the subpoena, the summons.
If they summons me for jury duty, I'm trying to try to show up.
Yeah,
you never know. That person might need me. They might need some common sense in that room. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yes.
That's a good
you never know if it's like a cool case.
Yeah, you never know.
Maybe.
Too, yeah.
My buddy was on a murder case. In I guess it was in like Rome or Decatur or whatever some years ago, and it was about like
it was in Italy.
It was a
you have to wear a wig. That's what I thought when you were in Italy, Rome.
Like I'm talking about local. Wig. I'm talking about local Rome.
Oh, Rome, Texas.
Yeah, Rome, Texas.
More of a Paris, Texas.
Paris or Italy, one of those places.
Our guy Eric Kendricks was limited with a shoulder injury.
They were going to practice him and see how it was going to go.
We'll have him on tomorrow. Let's hope it's Jameis time, baby. Jameis Winston's going to start in Cleveland for the Browns against the Ravens. They're also switching. switch, and Ken Dorsey's going to call the plays. No more Kevin Stefanski calling the plays. They're going to Kenny. He's going to be the play caller for
after
James.
He got fired this time last year by the Buffalo Bills.
He did, and nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo
like
Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. Yeah.
One other news of note here: the big soft. That's the four-letter word you don't want to say in the National Football League. You can say a lot of other words. Don't say soft. Okay?
I like to say relatively soft.
Yeah, well, this is.
I mean,
like
you're an NFL player. You're not soft compared to the population, but maybe plastic, compared to other teams. You're soft, relatively.
The big soft.
Relative to.
The big soft word. Yeah. Jonathan Jones was on WEEI of the New England Patriots. They asked him his opinion on being called soft.
Well, that's his opinion. And I always take the opinions of what our coaches say to heart. You know, and that was the opposite, you know, of a soft team is a tough team. And we pride ourselves around here on being able to stop the run, run the ball, and cover kicks. And if you look at our last game, we didn't do any of those. So I don't think we have any space, you know, to call ourselves a tough team, you know, based off our last performance. So we weren't able to stop the run. We weren't able to run the ball. And we weren't able to cover kicks.
I left that little last part in there, so I think you have a KC touchdown.
Oh, I like that. There's a swoosh.
Touchdown, Kansas City.
Fire
is the swoosh.
He's adapted it. I like it.
Yeah, it's a good move right there. Yeah, so I guess just get a little bit tougher over there, New England. Jonathan Jones doesn't have an issue with it.
Yeah, dude, toughen up. Yeah, a little accountability. You know, yeah. I do appreciate it.
I do appreciate it, too. It's refreshing from time to time. There's your NFL news of the day.
Thank you, Wolchuk. Yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. Somebody's calling you soft. I guess you could fight them on it, but at the same time, you didn't play well, you know, so it's maybe not the time to get defensive. But, yeah, no doubt a buzzword there in the NFL circles. Football players in general, pretty tough, yeah. I'd feel like. Not a lot of soft ones out there compared to the general population. But I would say a guy that takes a jury summons. That's the first time I've ever heard of it. You know, I would question commitment to the game right there. I'd question commitment to football. But again, as a kicker, you don't even really need to be at practice. You're just there to like hang out and so you can be part of the team, maybe get some camaraderie going. Mm, we could have a separate kicker practice and it would affect nothing.
Totally. That would actually be a fun bit to play.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
Like how long before people start asking around like, Is Aubrey here?
Yeah.
How many weeks can you go with only seeing him on game day?
He showed up this morning. We worked with a long snapper for about 45 minutes. He went home. Yeah. You know, we're all kickers.
Maybe
go
tomorrow
when the football team's practicing.
Did you see Brandon Aubrey yesterday? And maybe he just says yes.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah, of course. He was on the side kicking balls.
I mean, would you know it's a football player?
He's played off.
We're like, is this a web guy? This guy working for the .com now?
Brandon Aubrey, yeah, he damn sure knows.
Krusty's Corner is coming up at 3:40. He's going to scout that Niner offense for you, tell you how fearsome they are these days. Mm-hmm. Ben DiNucci, who had thoughts on the Star Tour, coming up next here to the G-Bag Nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Fan. Hey, buddies. Welcome back. It is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Former Cowboys set to join us. Segment's brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com/cowboys. It's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it's brought to you by The Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured due to somebody's negligence, call The Frankels and get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Hit frankelfirm.com. Yeah, story today in the NFL. Former Cowboys players discussing the distractions at the Star, including the Star Tours. Dorrance Armstrong saying he's smiling as he enters the building in Washington because he just has to work. Ben DiNucci, former Cowboys quarterback, tweeting, "I'll never forget when I would work out Tuesday mornings and have people tapping on the weight room glass like I was supposed to do something cool on command." As Ben DiNucci joins us now here on your home of the Cowboys. Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
What's up, guys? Nice to hear some familiar voices.
Man, it's great to hear from you. How are things going? What kind of an updates can you give us here before we get down to business on Ben DiNucci?
Oh, I'm good. Home base in Denver right now. I just got back from a workout Monday night with the Saints, so all's good here. Just living the life of being a free agent, going around doing some of these workouts, and continuing to work on True Brand. So all good over here.
Right on. Now, what else can you tell us about? Was that one incident? Did you feel like it was a consistent issue there at the Star with fans coming around while you're working?
I might have had a little bit of a different view on it. So my rookie year was 2020 when COVID. They didn't do it that year, but 2021 and 2022, they kind of ramped back up again. I didn't have many instances with it. I remember the few times specifically where I was working out. And I was doing squats, and our squats were kind of right in front of a two-way door there, and people were always kind of on the outside tapping in. I just thought, well, this is kind of interesting. I didn't know any better at the time. The Cowboys were the only team that I had been to, and I was in my second year, so I kind of just thought that's, you know, how it must be. But looking back on it now, no, it's definitely funny. I didn't really think anything of it then, but it wasn't a distraction for me. I wasn't necessarily playing, so I can't speak for other guys, but I just always thought it was more so funny than a distraction.
So you don't think you're actually throwing on more weight? You have some onlookers all of a sudden. Now you're squatting a little bit more that day all of a sudden.
No, I think if anything, it might have freaked me out a little bit. Like, oh, these guys are probably probably thinking I'm weak. I'm probably, why the heck is this dude in the weight room on a Tuesday by himself? So
what was your squat max in your heyday?
Oh man, I don't know. We QBs, it's a little different. They never made us do anything max. I don't know. Maybe 315 was the most I ever put on a bar.
Ben DiNucci just being modest here in the G-Bag Nation. Okay, I do want to get that perspective though, because it seems like this is all former players. Even though Dante Fowler has said that this is cap, he didn't say that in the article. But now that you've been able to go to Denver, you spent a little time in Buffalo, you're doing workouts now at other facilities. I mean, looking back at your time with the Cowboys, is this something that's just like bizarre compared to other organizations?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen anything like it in the few years that I've been out of Dallas. Look, I get it. There's a business side to everything, and Jerry's done an unbelievable job of building the Cowboys brand, so I understand that part of it. But the thing that was kind of ironic about being in Dallas was, you know, it seemed like at least once a week we had a team meeting or something about, hey, limit the distractions, limit the outside noise, keep everything in house, blah, blah, blah. And then you'd walk out of the meeting room, and there'd be someone leading a tour of, you know, 20 people through the cafeteria or whatever. And it was just kind of like, huh, interesting. So, yeah, so it's kind of funny to look back on now.
Hey, Ben, I wanted to ask you a question, and you do a good job of kind of keeping an eye on things going around the league and stuff like that. I wonder, did you hear what Troy Aikman said about the Cowboys wide receivers and about the route running? And I don't want to put you on the spot, but maybe as a player, if somebody from the outside, if a former player was that critical, was it something that would bother you guys, or would you ever kind of say, damn, he's right about that?
Well, to answer the first part of the question, yeah, I saw the quote, I think it was last week or a few days ago, something sure. Like that. It's hard for me to answer that. I mean, I watch the games. I don't watch all of them. I don't necessarily pay attention 100% like I used to. I've kind of phased out of watching the NFL a little bit, but I will say it's hard to tell from TV. The view from watching on your couch is a little bit different than watching from the sidelines or in a press box. So Troy's probably got a pretty unique perspective on what he's seeing on game days. I think some of it probably has some merit to it. I think the other part is that, you know, Aikman was, he was very successful with the Cowboys, wants to see them win. And I think a lot of people are probably just a little bit angry and frustrated with how the Cowboys season's gone. So I think there's probably a little bit of merit to a little bit of that. At the same time, he's got a job to do too. All these guys in media have a job to do. So there's probably a little bit of both coming into play there.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you too, because you understand, like, when work with Mike McCarthy and stuff like that, but, you know, now the owners come out and talked about scheme and design and stuff like that. Is how do you feel about when, like, your general manager or somebody like that comes out and starts questioning, you know, the schemes? And do you have an opinion on the schemes that they run in Dallas?
That's probably not my place to have an opinion on that. But I'll just say from my experience of being in Dallas, Jerry was around maybe once a week, so I'm not entirely sure how much he knows of exactly what's going on in the meeting rooms and in the game plans and stuff like that. I'm sure he's probably just watching it on Sundays like everybody else is and commenting on what he sees. So that's my two cents on that. Coach McCarthy has an unbelievable track record with quarterbacks, offenses, and I think just where he's been and what he's done speaks for itself. So, I mean, the NFL is hard. It's not easy to win. I think people get caught up in wanting to be perfect every single week and wanting to put up a bunch of points and do all this and do all that. I mean, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. So, and the Cowboys have a really hard schedule. They played really well last year, so the schedule this year was going to be tough. Injuries are an unfortunate part of the NFL, and the Cowboys have dealt with that a little bit the last few weeks, and so it seems like a lot of stuff has gone wrong all at the same time. So yeah, I'm not going to question the play calling or any of that. McCarthy was, from my time there, was on point with everything. We felt like we were prepared and ready to go into battle every Sunday with what he was trying to get us to do. So that's my kind of take on it.
It's Ben DiNucci here with you on the Fan. The text likes you, by the way. They say this is a good interview and we should have you back on to talk football more often. Ben, so we thank you for that. What do you think about Mike McCarthy being in the final year of his contract? It is rare that happens. They say it's kind of a lame duck contract situation.
Yeah, I don't know much about that either, but I guess it's probably pretty comparable to when a rookie is in the last year of his contract, or a guy's in kind of a contract year. I think most of the time they try to get that done a year early or a year too early. I don't know. There's been talk for years about, you know, is McCarthy the right guy, blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, the regular season, you know, I think speaks for itself. What's it been, 3 years of 10 or more wins? So
three straight 12 wins.
12, yeah. 12, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it's been, 12 wins, right? I mean, that's hard to do. There's only one team that is going to come away happy at the end of every year. There's one team that wins the Super Bowl. All 31 are going to feel like crap. So it's easy to sit behind your phones and sit on the couch and criticize what these guys are doing on Sundays. But you know, I think Coach McCarthy has done a good job. I think he's dealing with a lot of stuff that might not be in his control, injuries and stuff of that nature. So I would say just hang tight, Cowboys Nation, with him right now. He's done a good job of weathering the ship the last few years, and I think he'll continue to do so.
Seems like True Brand just keeps blowing up more all the time.
Yeah, that's a nice little transition from what we were just talking about. Business has been booming. People think it's interesting to see people kind of respond and you know, chime in on different stuff on Twitter. People will act like I want to see the Cowboys lose. At the end of the day, like, no, man, I want the Cowboys to win the Super Bowl. The Cowboys play well. It's good for business. It's good for everybody. So, the brand's doing good. It's been really fun to kind of shift my focus a little bit for the past, you know, however long it's been, 10 or 15 years. It's been sports, football, football, football. So to kind of step back for a little bit, take a little breather, and, you know, try to figure out what comes next after football has been refreshing. It's been fun, and it's been enjoyable to kind of make my brain work a different way than football has the last few years. So it's I'm enjoying the kind of phase of life that I'm in right now.
Now, where'd you get the business savvy? Did Jerry sprinkle a little on you, or did you have it from somewhere else?
No. So growing up, my dad had and still owns a promotional products business up in Indiana, Pennsylvania. So I've been around it since I've been young. I always kind of knew I was going to get into business one way or another. Didn't really know how or didn't know when. It's just kind of ironic that, you know, as soon as I graduate college, an opportunity is presented itself to me, and it kind of feels like I struck gold in more ways than one. So it's been It's been really good. It's been fun. I kind of feel like I've got a business master's on the fly without necessarily having to go back to school and take classes and do all that stuff. So it's been fun to build a brand. Sang, my business partner, and I have a really good relationship. He spearheads everything from Dallas, and it's been good. Hopefully no slowing down anytime soon.
Yeah, I think our True Brand hats got lost in the mail or something. We'll be wrapping them for you right now, bro.
Well, let me check the tracking number. Send me the address again, and I'll make sure.
I got you.
I'll make sure they didn't get rerouted.
we'll get that happen for you. Okay, 214 wants to know though, what's the best way to wash the True Brand hats?
People ask that. I don't. It's tough to say. I would say the best thing is probably just warm water and let it kind of air dry by itself. The ones that I've gotten dirty, I feel like that's kind of the best way that I found gets the job done. I've got a bunch. I mean, I've got probably 500 in my house. So I've done a million different trial and error ways to try to get those bad boys clean after a round of golf or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, I would just say warm water and let it air dry.
One of the last things I want to pick your brain on was just getting to work with Sean Payton there in Denver. I mean, now you've got Mike McCarthy, Sean Payton, two of the most successful offensive coaches over the last 20 years, really, both Super Bowl champions. Maybe, I don't know if there was big differences, but how was that experience in Denver?
No, it's been really cool for me. Both head coaches, along as playing with Dak, Russell Wilson, and Josh Allen, kind of three guys that I watched a lot growing up, kind of idolized, and have been great at the profession for a while. So that, along with the head coach, was really cool. Coach McCarthy, Coach Payton were two guys that were kind of always in the spotlight growing up, always kind of were the two guys. You were like, man, I feel like it'd be pretty cool to play for those guys, right? Now to be able to say that that I've done it with both of them has been really cool to see the similarities of what it takes to be successful in this league and have prolonged success. I mean, it's if you're around either of those guys for long enough, it's not hard to tell why they've been successful for so long. I mean, everything is just so regimented to a T. They know how to get the best out of their players. They know how to interact with guys. And I think both their track records just speak for themselves. So it's been awesome to play for both of those guys, get to know them a little bit, and kind of learn what makes them tick in the world of football.
Hey, Ben, my final question for you then. You know, the 49ers this week in that game are really banged up. Is it the players? I know when I was in scouting and stuff, we always paid attention who was playing and who wasn't playing. Do players do that? Like if you're going into a game and somebody's really, really banged up, do you guys keep a focus on that of like, man, they're really missing these guys. This would be a great chance for us today. Or is it something that you just go out and play?
No, I think there's a lot of that. So my first 2 years in Dallas, 2020 and 2021, my sole job on Friday mornings was to have a secondary report of the DBs and the safeties that we were going to be playing against on Sunday. And it was my job to kind of present it to Dak Friday mornings. Hey, this is who you're playing. This is their strengths. This is their weaknesses. You know, where'd they go to school? What round draft pick were they? Blah, blah, blah. And then find an interesting fact about them. So there's definitely a lot of that stuff that's going on during the week. The cat and mouse of, you know, going back and forth between injury reports and who practiced, who didn't practice. So I think a lot of that stuff makes sense when you're game planning, because if you got certain routes that you're trying to get, you know, or plays in for certain guys and you want it on this corner or that safety, whoever, and all of a sudden this guy's not playing, all of a sudden, hey, let's go run this on this guy now. So I think I think a decent amount of that is going on. That's why they have scouting departments and these personnel departments. Sure. to make sure everyone's kind of on the same page week to week.
Sounds good, Ben. Thank you so much for your time. Best of luck to you.
Of course, guys. Appreciate it.
Cheers. Ben DiNucci here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. yeah, that was fun, man. It was great to get his thoughts on stuff, get caught up with, you know, what's going on with him, and, you know, talk some ball there with the former Cowboys and Broncos quarterback. Interesting, he was just in a trial for the Saints, huh?
Yeah.
So he's getting a snip.
Yeah.
Probably still in good shape.
Yeah, looks like Spencer Rattler's going to get another start there for New Orleans as they still wait for Derek Carr.
Yeah.
All righty. Krusty's Corner time, Brian. What are we doing?
Yeah, let's talk about this San Francisco 49er offense. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time now for Krusty's Corner. The corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. I know everybody's gathering around as it's time now for Brian's weekly scouting report on the opponent. Broadus.
Thank you very much, John. I appreciate that. And thank you very much to Reliant as well for being a part of this. Yeah, the film is really interesting about the 49ers, and you notice the first thing about them is they are struggling with the injuries, and they're struggling with wide receiver injuries, and losing Brandon Ayuk was a huge loss for them. Deebo Samuel being sick, and I think Deebo Samuel is going to play this week. But I think that when you look at the way that they play with Brandon Ayuk on the field and with him not being on the field, it's different.
Have you ever had pneumonia? What makes you think Deebo can play?
I always assume that if a guy gets out of the hospital on a Monday, that they're going to IV him up the whole week and not practice him. And then everybody shows up against Dallas, you know, one of those things.
Game day, he'll be good to go.
That's why I asked DiNucci that question, because I'm always thinking about who's not going to play. And, you know, maybe he won't. But to me, I think a bigger injury for them might be George Kittle, the foot sprain that he's dealing with. And if he doesn't play, I think that's huge.
Yeah.
But we all understand about the 49ers, and they have one of the best play callers in the league. There's no question about that. What I really do like about watching San Francisco's tape is the assortment of formations and motions that they use in a game. And Shanahan, he's always searching for numbers advantage by his alignment or with his motions. Mm-hmm. And he's a master of putting his players in position to become blockers. He's always going to try and outnumber you. They're a team that primarily run the ball to the outside. That's a big, big part of what they do. Primarily, they're going to run the ball from underneath center. Only the Rams play under center more than the 49ers. So you're going to get pretty much that when Brock Purdy gets up underneath center, you can probably guarantee it's probably going to be some type of a running play. The Rams and the 49ers play with a lot of condensed offense. And when I mean condensed, the formation is really, really tight. So what they're doing is, instead of bringing their blockers from depth from the outside or width, they bring them, they keep them tight, and that way they get them in positions. How many times the Cowboys are a team that plays with more width than any other team in the league?
Yeah.
But what happens? They can't get their receivers in position to block.
Right. Mm-hmm. They're too slow.
They can't get over there. They're asking, okay, well, let's get, oh, Tolbert's got to block Aiden Hutchinson here off the backside. Well, he's coming from depth. He can't get there. The 49ers remedy this by playing with a really, really tight formation.
A number of the better offenses are doing that.
When you look at how the Rams play, they're within 20 yards. That's how tight that they play their formations. So Dallas has got to be ready of a lot of tight formations in this football game. Kyle Juszczyk is primarily the motion guy here for them. He's the fullback. He's the tight end. 46% of his snaps. I looked this up because I'm thinking, gosh, this guy's always playing on the move. Always
high
playing
GPS
on,
numbers.
High GPS numbers here. But his 46% of his snaps are in motion. He's one of these guys, you follow him and you can generally find the ball. You have to worry about him on the wheel route. Kansas City tried to throw the wheel the other day. He caught four passes last year against Dallas. One of them was the big wheel route that they had up the sideline. So I guarantee you, though, they're going to test Dallas's linebackers, put him as a fullback or maybe put him offset eye, and then run him on that wheel route. Another thing you have to be worried about with this team is their tight end delay. And when I mean tight end delay, they will set guys up like they're blocking, hold account, and then they get out in the route. And you lose track of where they are in route.
Which is exactly what happened to that big Kittle play in the playoffs.
Yeah. You can't lose track of these guys because they're blocking. You have to stay. If that's your coverage, if that's your zone, you have to stay. Even if the guy's blocking, you have to stay, because what they'll do, and Kansas City did a great job. Every time that they tried to delay, Kansas City was there, had a guy on. They were playing coverage. They were right where they needed to be, and that didn't allow the San Francisco to make the huge play. This quarterback likes to throw the ball intermediate routes, 10 to 19 yards. A lot of them are done through crossing routes. Dallas got crushed on the crossing route against the Lions, if you remember. Anything in breaking. Dallas is one of the worst teams in the league when it comes to playing intermediate routes. And the 49ers are one of the best when it comes to that. Them and the Lions, the number of routes they run inside, you know, between the hashes is they're really their bread and butter. You take that away from them, you take away a lot of their offense. Kansas City did that last week. Kansas City got lucky in a couple of plays, though, too. They had, you know, where they had Brandon Ayuk on an intermediate route, gets separation, drops the ball. They had a couple balls where they run intermediate route with Kittle inside, balls tipped at the line of scrimmage. Happened twice where they're open. Dallas is Dallas is going to have to get some breaks this way. I don't know if San Francisco really needs to throw the ball against you in this game, though, to be honest with you. Not with the way that Jordan Mason has been playing, playing running back for them. I've been super impressed with him. Since taking over from McCaffrey, there's been 53 missed tackles that this guy has generated, the most missed tackles of anybody in the NFL right now.
It's tough to bring down.
Very tough to bring down. Dallas leads the league in missed tackles. They went from last year being an 8% tackle team to a 16% missed tackle team. One of the worst in the league when it comes to tackles. And this guy makes people miss tackles. That's the highest rate in the NFL, by the way, 16% for the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
Mason has 19 carries of 10 yards or plus in games this year. So you're going to have to deal with that. You know, if you look at the guy in Baltimore, he's got 17 explosive plays. And as I mentioned, they're going to run the ball from underneath center. So this is, and the ball is going to go to the edge. They're going to try and get the ball to the outside. If I'm the Cowboys in this game, I try my best. I'm not worried about pass rush in this game. I'm not worried about trying to get pressure. Where you could probably get pressure on the 49ers is that on the left guard of Aaron Banks. Aaron Banks is number 65. He struggled. When you watch these games, he's the one guy that really, really struggles with the one-on-one stuff. Him and actually Trent Williams has struggled a little bit. It used to be that Colton McKivitz, the right tackle, wasn't a guy you attack.
Yeah.
McKivitz actually has been one of their better players. But the thing you're dealing with, too, with this San Francisco offensive line, they've played together the whole entire season. They have not lost a snap to an offensive lineman for an injury this year. So that's what you're dealing with right there.
Continuity spells trouble.
Continuity, yeah. That's going to be a big problem for them. But Colton McKivitz, the right tackle, has usually been a guy that you can attack. I think Aaron Banks is the guy now, number 65, and he's the left guard. I mentioned about playing on the edges. I would worry about how to keep run contained. Try and keep that thing in between the tackles. If you're going to get pressure, let it be with Oso Odighizuwa inside. If you want to attack that A-gap with a blitz there. But I think that Golston and Lawson and everybody else that are playing on the edges in this game, you need to fight like hell. Don't worry about pass rush. Worry about playing the run and keeping that thing inside. Because if you can keep Mason inside, you got a shot to kind of control him a little bit better. When he gets on the edge, that's when he's going to be a big problem for you to have to deal with right there. Now, the 49ers face a ton of loaded box. Loaded box is eight guys in the box, and they face a ton of that. Dallas has plays the fourth most loaded box in the league, and they're terrible at it. So if you think that, hey, let's just get extra dudes in the box, they've been playing, the metrics will tell you, they've been playing 46% loaded box this year, and they've been horrible at it. They've been gashed at it. So Dallas is in a little bit of a problem that way. If you'd say, just outnumber them, try and outnumber them. Well, I said earlier, the 49ers do a great job of trying to outnumber you at the blocking positions. So, like I say, Dallas, it's been a big, big problem for them to have to deal with that. But I would definitely try and play as strong as I could on the edges, force the runs inside, see if your linebackers can make some plays. Pass rush probably going to have to come from Oso Odighizuwa inside on Aaron Banks. I think that's the route I would go, try and affect this quarterback. This quarterback, by the way, holds the ball longer than any other quarterback in the league.
A lot of TTTs.
Yeah, a lot of that. And he's pretty good at it, actually. Usually when you hold the ball long, there's a problem. Usually there's a problem that way. And so, but this guy, he seems to kind of get,
they're pushing the ball down the field.
Well,
the guys aren't getting open.
Yeah, that's the problem. Dallas, I said this earlier, Dallas, Purdy and Prescott throw to make more tight window throws than any other quarterbacks in the league. These guys don't separate a whole lot. Now, you think with all the crossing stuff that they would separate, but this year they haven't. He's had to make a ton of tight window throws. That's been a little bit of a problem for him. But you know, holding the ball, maybe you can win on a couple of different rushes. I just don't see San Francisco throwing the ball very much in this game. I think they're going to see if Dallas is good enough at being able to get off blocks and to tackle Jordan Mason.
And
we know
they're not. Yeah. They can't even load a box and stop the run.
Yeah, that's like I say, it's 40, 42, 42-43% loaded box and they're struggling with those.
Well, go out there and execute. Hopefully they're fresh coming out of the bye, they're determined, and they let that dog out, because what you described sounds like about 34 points to me, Brian.
It could be trouble. It's gonna be like you say, if Kittle doesn't play and Samuel doesn't play, and you know, you turn this into a game where they have to throw, it's going to be on Ricky Pearsall and Jacob Cowing and those guys. I'll take my chances with that. But if you don't stop the run, if it turns into that game, you're right. This could be a huge problem for the Cowboys.
Well, thank you, Broadus.
Thank you.
He'll preview the Niner defense for you tomorrow. Crusty's Corner brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, every day 340 here in the nation. Join us tomorrow, Richardson Bar and Grill on Campbell Road. Pick up a G-Bag Nation flag. Picked up a G-Bag Etched Stella Artois glass. If you have not received one of those yet, we'd love to see you. We have buyers and sellers ahead of the trade deadline in a Cowboys news of the evening. Which group do you want to see the Cowboys in? That's next in the nation.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.